Good evening. It's great to see you this evening. We're going to think about the church under the heading The Living Stone and the Living Stones, and we'll think about that passage in 1 Peter chapter 2, and also flick over occasionally to Matthew 16, 13 to 23. So you might like to have your finger in that or a piece of paper as well. A lot of us like to build things, but some of us are not very good at it. The slides are coming up on the screen in just a moment. There we go. So I like trying to build things. Ever since I discovered IKEA, I've enjoyed trying to put things together, but I'm not very good. A few disasters. This wasn't an IKEA one. This was another sort of flat pack thing. I'm sure it was defective in some way. It was a TV unit. The instructions were much too difficult to follow, and I put the doors on back to front, and it all went wrong. And I ended up, this was a few years ago, just saying to Anne, we need to throw this in the garage. It's absolutely hopeless. I'm going out. When I came back, I saw that all the doors had been taken off and it had been reassembled properly by my wife. And it was there in the corner of the room with the television on top. On another occasion, there was another thing that I tried to build, a table. It was very, very complicated. This was from IKEA. This is not the table. I'll come on to this in a moment. But I did work really, really hard on this table. This was in our little house in Oswestry, and I'd got the top together, I'd got the legs on. You had to turn the table upside down to screw the legs into the tabletop. So you can imagine the tabletop is flat on the floor, the legs are sticking up, everything worked well, and I'd finished this amazing table. This is absolutely true. Everything perfectly done, and I was so happy. I can remember how I felt, so proud. And I went to pick up the table to turn it the right way up, and it was stuck. Tried again, and it was stuck, wouldn't move. And what I'd done, I'd used the wrong length screws. Instead of the shorter screws that I should have used, I'd used these longer screws, and it had screwed right the way through the tabletop, into the carpet, into the underlay, and it was stuck. So I could remember how proud I felt. I remember also feeling absolutely mortified by this disaster and unscrewing the screws. Again, Anne came in, used the right screws. The carpet, which fortunately was very threadbare anyway, that's long since gone. But if you visit our Oswestry house, you can still see in the top of the table the filler Anne has put in to actually fill up the holes so that the table is serviceable. It's still there. And that is why, people, I am so proud of this. This is a shoe rack, and I built it. This is in our new home. I got no help, and there is nothing wrong with it. At least not as far as I can tell. The shoes are on it. It's not fallen over. It's not collapsed. Bits haven't fallen off. We all like to build. But some of us are better than others. And it is wonderful that our God is the master builder, and he is building the church. God is building the church. And that's what we're going to think about this evening for a little while. God's church that he is building, and our part in God's church, because we're not passive. As far as this is concerned, God calls us to engage with him in the work of his church. But the first principle is that God is building his church. Matthew 16, 8, a famous verse, Jesus says, I will build my church. Not the disciples' church. Not the church of the crowd, not the church that others are going to build, but Jesus is going to build his church. 1 Peter chapter 2, we see that Jesus is the living stone. He is the living stone. He is the cornerstone, the capstone, the most important stone in the building. And in 1 Peter 2 and verse 5, you are being built into a spiritual house. And we notice the tense, it's passive. You are being built, speaking to us, you are being built into this spiritual house. It is God who is doing the building. We are the materials, the living stones that he uses. Not our church, but God's church. Jesus says, I will build my church. You are being built into a spiritual house. And it's important just to nail this point when we think about the life of the church. Because very often we can think, this is our church. And when we think like that, we think that we have a right to say exactly how it's going to be and exactly how it's going to be built. There are pastors who say, this is my church and things are going to go my way. There are pastors who treat church as their own personal private fiefdom. But Jesus says, I will build my church. As a team here, I think we're very clear. You know, this is not my church. Crag is not Jeff's community. The children's work is not Heather's children's work. It is God's work from first to last. Jesus says, I will build my church. And sometimes as people as well, we can think, this is my church, and it's going to go the way that I want. In my previous incarnation in Spurgeon's College, we had placements for our students. And just sometimes a student would go in and they would be really positive and things would go really well. They weren't messing up. They were a little bit angular sometimes, but aren't we all? They were leading the church well under God. And people within the church, maybe a particular family, who had been there for many, many years, said, you're not doing it like that. This is our church. But Jesus says, I will build my church. And so South Parade Baptist Church, the different communities that make up the church here, the different works that we have, whether it's Rooted or the young people's work or whatever it may be, it is all God's. God is working. God is building his church. And if we keep that in mind, if we keep that front and center in our thinking, then things will go better for us as we move forward as his people. It is God's church from first to last. Another thing that we can note is that the church is the people. It's not the building. The image is of living stones, chapter 2, verse 5, like living stones. And it's not the image of a physical building that is actually being built. It's a metaphor. We are being built into a spiritual house. The church is the people. The stones of the church are not the stones that we see here on the pillars. The stones of the church are you and I. We are these living stones being built into a spiritual house. When we think of the context of the New Testament, the first century, it makes sense because in an era of persecution, in an era when the church is starting out, they did not have the opportunity to build or buy buildings like this one. The meetings were mainly in people's homes, sometimes quite big meetings, but nevertheless, they were clear that the church was the people. And the idea of the church as the building is a pervasive one, and we all slip into it at times. But it's something that we should be challenging ourselves about. I make mistakes like this. This is something from a while ago that I remember so clearly in my mind. When I was at university, involved in the Christian Union, we had a number of missions that UCCF did. And we went out in the summer and we worked with different churches. And one of the things that I did was work with a church in London, in Tower Hamlets, which at the time was a very deprived area of London. The church met in a warehouse and they had a big thing that the church is people. It was on all the leaflets. We were reaching out to people saying, the church is not the building, the church is the people. It's really exciting. Come along and see. Find out. We've got these meetings. And we did all of this stuff, all the literature, all the stuff that was there. The church is people, the church is not the building. On our day off, we went to St. Paul's Cathedral. Never seen it before, never looked around. There was a little group of us. Our staff worker was there with us. And I looked up and looked around the building and said, isn't this a beautiful church? The reaction was that I was pretty much physically attacked by the rest of the group who said, this is not the church. The church is the people. Of course, it's right. The church is the people. And actually, again, if we have that clear in our thinking, then we will be more flexible in our approach to church, more fluid in our approach to church, more ready to change, more ready to innovate, more ready to do things differently, because the church is not the building. The church is the people. So God is building his church. The church is the people. God uses us in building his church. We are stones, but we are living stones. God is doing it. God is building, but we're not just lumps of granite or some other stone that are just passively doing nothing. We are active. We are living. God is using us. We are to offer spiritual sacrifices in verse 5. And in verse 9, this wonderful verse, again we see that we are involved. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, the wonderful privilege and blessing of being part of God's people. But it is for a purpose, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. God is building, but he's using us. It is God's church, but we are involved as his disciples, as these living stones, working, active, alive, speaking out God's praises wherever we might be. We are involved. And Matthew 16, verse 18. If you're following this through in the Bibles, you might like to turn to this, because this is a verse that has been argued about by Christians down the ages. We've heard from Judith about the fantastic service that is coming up in Horsforth, 500 years after the Reformation, from Reformation to Reconciliation. And one of the battlegrounds within God's church has been this verse. Jesus says to Peter, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. I don't know how much you know about the interpretation of this verse, but it has been a verse that has been hotly contested. And broadly speaking, the Roman Catholics would say the thing or what Jesus is referring to is actually Peter. Peter is the rock, and he is, in a sense, the one who is going to be foundational in the life of the church. And so Peter is the rock. Peter is seen as the first bishop of Rome, and the Pope today would trace his lineage right back to Peter. Jesus is speaking to Peter. Jesus is speaking about Peter when he uses this phrase, the rock. But Protestants have generally said something very different. No, Jesus is not referring to Peter. He is referring to the statement Peter makes. If we look back to verse 16, we see the wonderful words that Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the rock that Jesus is referring to is basically that statement. That is the foundation of the church. It is Jesus, Son of God. It is Jesus Christ, Messiah, Savior, Lord. And he is the rock. He is the foundation. And so, how do we think about this? Is it Peter or is it the statement? I think that there are actually problems with both interpretations, and many modern commentators highlight a different way of thinking about this. So, you know, problems with the Roman Catholic interpretation or the traditional Roman Catholic interpretation. You have Peter, who doesn't seem to be very rock-like here. And he's not very rock-like in the gospel story. And actually, just a few verses on, Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter is not Satan. Jesus is referring to the words that indicate that Jesus is going to avoid the cross. That is so wrong that Jesus speaks in the strongest possible terms and responds to Peter's statement. And so there are problems with the Roman Catholic interpretation, but there are problems with the Protestant approach, the traditional Protestant approach as well. Because Jesus is responding to what Peter has said, and there is a play on words that is going on. And Peter's name, Petros, and the word for a rock, Petra, very, very similar. And so there is a play on words between the two names. Might Jesus be referring to Peter after all? The interpretation that I think is really helpful is to recognize that Peter is speaking as the spokesperson for the group of disciples, for the spokesman. We often see him doing that in the Gospels. He is the first to speak out. He is the first to say something. And so he is speaking as a disciple. And a really helpful way to think about this is to think about it as the statement, but as the statement in the mouth of a confessing disciple. The statement isn't just there suspended in midair. It doesn't come out of a vacuum. A disciple speaks it. A disciple speaks it out. And it is the statement that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Savior, that he is the Son of living God, spoken out by a disciple, a stumbling, failing disciple, that Jesus is referring to. And again we see it's the same point. What is the real foundation? Well, it's Jesus as Lord. It's Jesus as Savior, as Messiah, as Christ. He is the one who is Lord of the church. He is the foundation stone. He is the rock. He is the cornerstone. He is the capstone. It is Jesus from first to last. But he uses confessing disciples, disciples who mess up, disciples who say these things wrong, disciples who stumble and fall, disciples like Peter, disciples like you and me. He uses us in building his church. It is God's church. Jesus is Lord of his church, but we are called to be involved as living stones. I think it's so exciting. It's so wonderful that God has called us to this. I hope you feel it. I hope you sense it. I just feel again that God is going to use us to do something significant and special. And I think it's started. It's God's church, but God calls us to be involved. And so I want to encourage you, whatever community you're a part of, whatever work God has called you to here in this place, whatever God has called you to as the scattered people of God, the work that you do, 9 to 5 or 8 to 6, or if you're a shift worker during the night, the work that you do in the home, whatever your front line is, the friends, the family that you have, as you seek to live for God wherever he has placed you, it's God's church, it's God's mission. But God uses us. God uses me, and God uses you. It's God's church, but God uses us. I want to do just one more illustration. It's come up on the screen. It fits with the stone idea and its dry stone walling. You wouldn't think that dry stone walling is very exciting, and probably it isn't. But it's exciting thinking about it. And one of my friends has actually been on a dry stone walling course. He's not the sort of person to do this normally, but he just thought that he would give it a go. And it's much more complex than you think. If I were trying to build a wall with stones, I would just sort of throw stones in, and unsurprisingly, it would collapse very quickly. But there is a knack to do this, and there are different stones. You can get the idea, I think, by what is on the screen. You use long, thin stones. You have a big stone at the bottom. You have different stones that fit in. Apparently, dry stone wallers don't often dress their stones. They don't often sort of knock them into particular shapes. They use the stones that they have to build something strong and sturdy and fit for purpose. And some of the stones that go into the middle, the little stones, the rubble, the stones that are angular and difficult, are actually some of the most important stones in the whole wall. We're all different. We're all different shapes and sizes spiritually. We all have different gifts. We all have different roles, different parts to play. We have different opportunities, different passions. And yet God uses all of us. When God chose you, he chose you for a purpose. Verses in the scriptures about election and God's calling, God choosing us. It's always for a purpose. It's always for us to reflect on and to rejoice in the grace of God and to see that we have this responsibility. Whatever gifts you have, whatever your life experiences, whatever your passions, however much you have stumbled and fallen, God wants to use you as he builds this spiritual house, living stones coming together in a building. Verse 9 is a key verse, and it's here that we're going to close in 1 Peter chapter 2. And it is so wonderful to see that we are a chosen people. But just a reminder again that we have been chosen for a purpose. Chosen people, royal priesthood, holy nation, that you may declare the praises of him who brought you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And there are so many ways we can declare God's praises. We can do it here in this building as we worship God together. We can do it in our hearts. We declare God's praises as we live for him. And we declare them too in the wider world. As the verses go on, we see the context is living for God in the world. Live such good lives among the pagans, the apostle says, that people might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven on the day that he visits us. Yes, we are to sing God's praises here together now, but we are also to worship God with our whole lives. Living stones being built into a spiritual house and doing the work of God. In a moment, we're going to reflect and pray together. But I'm just going to give you the heads up for something that I'm going to encourage you to do in a moment. As you came in, you should have been given a stone. And these are not to throw towards the front, as you might have wondered. These are to bring to the front and place on the floor in a moment, if you feel that God is leading you in that way. And I hope that all of us will. As a sign, as a symbol, that we are going to play our part in God's work here in this church. Whether it's in Connect in Bramley, whether it's in Crag in Horsforth, whether it's here in Headingley for Sent or for Rooted or for Headingley Sunday morning, whether it's at the ABC Cafe in Addle, wherever God is calling us to serve, maybe it's a number of different contexts, we are going to play our part as living stones. in my place of work, in my family, in my community, in my home. Wherever God sends, wherever God leads, I am going to play my part. What we're going to do is sing together, first of all, Light of the World, You Step Down into Darkness. So I just want to invite the bands to come forward. And then when we have sung that together, we will move into our time of communion. And as we begin that, they are going to play on, and I want to encourage you to come and just place your stones down here at the front, in front of the communion table, as this symbol, as this sign that we're going to engage together in the work of God. And hopefully we'll have a little can that will be there on the floor as we move into communion. But first of all, Light of the World, You Step Down into Darkness. Let's stand together and worship our God.